Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the Complimentary Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Katie Langerman, joined as always by Anthony Hobday. And today we're talking all about layout again. How's your week been? I know that you've been doing some travel this week, and it's a Saturday, so this is an interesting day for us to be recording.
Yeah, I had to keep putting this off because I was away for the week, and so we'd already delayed it by one day. I was with my partner's family. We all stayed in a big house together, which went surprisingly well. They all love me, so that's great. And then we had to delay it again because there are train strikes happening in the UK, which are becoming more and more common. But it also means if you're trying to get home, not so easy. So I had to stay overnight somewhere and then get a train the next day, which is today. So I'm finally here. Wow. We can finally do it.
Yeah, I didn't realize you got back today. So I'm thankful you're willing to still talk about design after.
Always.
A bit of travel.
I could have done it on the train remotely, you know, but the tunnels.
That would have been very... That could be an interesting podcast concept on a train conversations.
Just cuts out when you least expect it. How was your week?
Yeah, good. I'm taking a little 2-week staycation. I don't remember the last time I've taken 2 weeks off, maybe ever. Definitely not in my current job. So it's kind of cool. And I highly recommend it. Nobody ever regrets taking 2 weeks off, but you do regret sometimes taking only 1 week because then it's too short and
not long
two
enough.
2 weeks is perfect. Yeah. So I've just been doing little projects around my house, like home improvement type things. I have a rental house, so I'm limited in the things that I can do, but that's, hey, you know how limitations creates creativity. So yeah. I've been like doing fun little projects to just make me happier about this house, which is already just a great house. So, yeah.
DIY doesn't sound like a holiday to me. It sounds like more work. I think if I was taking a week off, yeah.
Yeah, I did say to my partner yesterday, I don't know that I've relaxed enough. I feel like I'm just doing a lot of work. And he's like, yeah, you should just try doing nothing for a day. Maybe you watch some shows, do some reading. So, or I haven't hit the beach yet. And like, I'm in San Diego, so I should be going to the beach daily probably, but that'll be for next week. That's why you take 2 weeks. 1 week is all your hard manual labor around your house that you've been putting off. Second week is for relaxing and doing nothing. So looking
forward. Everyone knows holidays go DIY, then beach. It's a very specific order. That's the basic rule. Yeah. And the fact that you forgot that is surprising to me.
You can't enjoy the beach until you've done the DIY project.
Yeah. But speaking of the order things go in, I'm interested to talk about layout.
That was a great segue.
Yeah. I'm going to try and do one every time now. And
perfect.
Pick the perfect moment to segue into the topic. But yeah, we could carry on going, not talking about layout. I could find another opportunity. That's just the entire episode, 30 minutes of us having an ordinary conversation and then finding segues from each topic into layout or whatever the topic happens to be.
Yes. Well, I order and like hierarchy is one of the things that came to mind for me when I was kind of thinking through what I wanted to discuss in this episode. So I'm glad you brought that up first. So that is sort of pretty important, maybe if not the most important thing, is using layout to like promote prominence of certain parts of your page or like.
Yeah, it's a weird one because there's a huge overlap here between layout and typography.
Yeah, I know.
Especially in the sense that if someone's talking about layout, I think they're probably naturally thinking in terms of two-dimensional space, like where do I put it on this canvas almost. But actually, like you say, order is one of the most important sort of fundamental things about layout. You know, the thing at the top is something you see first, assuming you're scrolling. I was about to say, assuming you're scrolling from the top down. And I was saying that in the sense of, as opposed to like right to left versus left to right language.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any bottom to top
cultures. That would be interesting.
That seems to be universal, bottom to top, but left and right and right to left. Yeah. I'm sure someone who studies sort of classical languages or something who's listening can let us know if there's any bottom to top cultures. But yeah, that seems to be a fundamental concept, is top to down, top to bottom.
Yeah. Is below the fold still a thing that people talk about? Is that do you hear people talk about that?
Only ever when they say that it's no longer a thing.
Okay.
So the only time I see below the fold mentioned as a concept is when people say you don't have to pay attention to it.
Mm.
I don't know how true that is, but I mean, you do still get screen sizes, right? Like depending on, it changes per screen size, but there's still things below the bottom of the screen. And it's hard to believe that if you've got a choice between what gets shown in that first viewport view, it's hard to believe that it doesn't have any effect.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can be intentional about it. Like, it just depends on what you're working with, I guess. But there are scenarios where something could look a little awkward if it's like cut off in a funny way for a smaller device. So you could, but you don't have a whole lot of control over how things are going to look on every device. So I don't know. You got to be flexible.
As far as I know, the concept here is less about above and below the fold and more about, do people scroll below that initial view? And so do you need to fit all of your value proposition, for example, into that first view? But I find that a bit of a strange thing to think about, because as far as I know, below the fold comes from newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume it's to do with when the newspaper is sitting on the shelf in the shop or whatever, wherever you buy the newspaper. You've got to fit the thing that makes them buy the newspaper above the fold.
Yeah.
But it's a bit different for a website, because scrolling is so much easier than unfolding a newspaper or buying a newspaper, you know, if it's wrapped in plastic or something. So whatever reason that below the fold or above the fold was so important originally, I suspect it's not as important in design, but I haven't really looked into why that's an important concept in print design.
Mm.
And maybe I should. That'd be an interesting little deep dive.
Yeah, just like I'll get a bit of historical context, maybe. I don't think that's ever something I learned in when I was learning graphic design, but I didn't learn about newspapers necessarily.
Yeah, it's quite a unique set of situation to have a folded piece that you're designing for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's more, because I think when I've seen, for example, Nielsen Norman Group talk about this sort of thing, they talk about, do people scroll versus, as opposed to, is it a below the fold? And I think they usually debunk it by saying that everyone's basically willing to scroll. So maybe it's more about, do you make it clear to them that there is content below that point? Because not every website does.
How would you do that? Are you talking about like some websites have like a little arrow that's like scroll for more, or they indicate somehow that there's more content below?
Yeah, I always prefer to use the content to show there's more content below, because that feels sort of natural. I used to get a bit annoyed when I saw websites taking up the whole viewport with just the hero section and showing no sort of, not showing there was content below. But actually, I've seen more and more websites do that intentionally recently. Even if you've got a very tall viewport, they will intentionally fill that viewport with the hero section using JavaScript.
Yeah.
So they'll change the shape of that hero section just so it fills the entire. And I find that a bit baffling. And I can almost basically understand that it's sort of like the cover to a book, right? You're presenting an image to the world when they first load the website.
Yep.
But I find it so strange that they're willing to avoid the, not really a temptation, but avoid the benefits of showing people more content in that first view. Because surely that's drawing people in more. If you're showing them, you know, the first couple of lines of a paragraph, surely that's drawing them in more than having your sort of perfectly presented book cover.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've never tested it. And usually these tests go the way you don't expect them to. So maybe it's fine, but it just feels wrong to me that you wouldn't be a bit more efficient with your space.
I feel like I've definitely seen that pattern before, where they sort of create different, like each section of the page is a full viewport height. And so like every time you scroll, it's like snapping to
a
section that takes up the whole page. So I feel like that's a style. No. You're not into it.
That's full viewport, like takeover plus scroll jacking. And I just,
it's,
it starts to become a collection of the things that make me uncomfortable. I can see it's certainly stylish.
Yeah, but it sort of forces you in a path where, especially ones that have a lot of animations, and it's like animating something in, and then you want to just quickly, you can't scan the page, basically. You're forced into this like rhythm of looking at each section.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the, well, I don't think, I assume we're not the typical sort of users or audience of most websites, because we probably look at them with a more critical eye for different reasons.
Yeah.
But I find it hard to believe that people who are not designers are scrolling through websites at a sedate pace. Like they're figuring out, oh no, it was designed for this scroll speed, so I'll slow down a bit, you know. I don't think they care. I think they just think that the content's not loading, and then they see that it loaded in just as they're about to scroll past it. And at that point, they don't care enough to scroll back.
Yeah.
And see whatever illustration was half a second delayed just because it feels a bit nicer or maybe sells more websites. I definitely appreciate that there's a commercial aspect to this of selling the work in the first place, which is different from using the work, if that makes sense. We've gone into sort of rant town here, down a little rant alleyway. I'm curious how you think about layout in design system work. Assuming it's a lot of fixed numbers and they inform almost everything.
It's weird. I actually did not even think about this topic. I didn't think about it from design system land. I've been on vacation too long. I don't remember anything.
About your job.
But yeah, what is that job that I do? But I think it's also a little bit of a blind spot for me, because not all design systems will try to handle layout. Like it's hard to handle it. And so sometimes you'll just give people all the little tools that they need to create their own layouts and let them run free. Other design systems will have like component-based things for grids or like flex layouts or grid layout or like columns and rows and that kind of thing. Some design systems will use, and we should talk about grids, but they will kind of create like a 12 column grid or something and then let you align things inside of it, I guess, giving you different, I don't know. To me, like grids and responsive design are confusing, and I don't fully understand why you would need to work with columns, like in the code at least. I guess if you're designing something, you could create some columns for yourself initially just to get like a balance in your viewport, but then you don't need it in the code. But now I'm just rambling. For GitHub, at least, we do have a couple different layout components, and that is not like a very flexible tool. So it's not like you can just create any kind of layout with it. It's more specific to the product. So like for the projects, if you've got like a sidebar, we call it like a split page layout, where you've got the main content section and then a sidebar on the left and even potentially another sidebar on the right. And so we handle just the alignment and spacing basically of those sections. And I don't know that we really do this, but the goal was to also handle responsive in a way that's like, instead of just stacking everything, you could choose to put certain pieces of content into an overlay or like a panel, like a side sheet or a bottom sheet on a mobile viewport. I don't know that we've actually really accomplished that or where that work is right now, but that was sort of like the vision for it. And I tend to like those kind of more prescriptive layout components that are just like, this is what our website looks like. Use this one layout component. And, you know, it's nice to have like containers, I guess. One thing that it's usually called like a box in code, which is a spicy topic because it can mean different things. It means something different in React than it does in other languages. But having some kind of container that you can then like nest things within in the main content section, I think is kind of useful. We call it like a stack, which is basically just like a really low level primitive that lets you create a vertical or horizontal stack of items, and it just has like density. So you can create different density gaps in between each item and then like address the direction. So basically the density just controls flex box.
Yeah, the density controls the gap sizes, not the container sizes.
Exactly.
Right. And you got into something there that I find quite interesting because it's sort of definitional. I don't know if that's a word. It probably isn't. It gets into the definition of layout because it sounded like you were talking about your design system not really helping people with what I call macro layout, which is like page level layout. But I'm assuming your design system does prescribe what I usually think of as micro or like container level layout. And so a form, for example, might have quite strict layout rules, but where you place that form on the page might have less strict layout rules. Do you think that's a fair description of what you're talking about?
Kind of, yeah. I think the goal, like in a perfect world, we would have a component that handles the page, like the large page scale. And we sort of, like, that's kind of what I was saying with page layout. It basically does handle everything below the top bar. So it can give you a sidebar and like a centered container. But above that is where it gets really tricky, especially on a website that has different implementations all in one. So like if you've got React and Rails on a single website, are they all sharing the same container of the whole site, or is it going to change in certain places? And then like, does that layout component handle everything from the top down, or is it like nested?
So yeah, this is before I forget, is one thing that's really annoyed me in the past is if you have a company like Google that has a suite of products and they want them all to look the same, like Gmail and Google Docs and everything, I've noticed in the past sometimes that you'll switch from one product to another and you'll notice that something is one pixel off in one of their products, like maybe the top bar is one pixel higher or something. And it's something that very foundational to the layout in terms of the outside edges. You know, like this is the top bar that represents Google as a whole. And you have the little grid up there that lets you choose which product you're looking at. And I always find that so strange because they're changing the layout even by one pixel on something that is shared across all of their products. And clearly right. There's some weird technical issues going on there that they haven't been able to address or haven't cared to. So that's not really, I mean, that is layout. That's sort of a symptom in layout, but it's I guess it's a not really a layout problem that causes that symptom. But I thought I'd mention it because it's interesting when you talked about if you've got different technologies powering different parts of the website or the product, then maybe that causes a struggle.
It does, because sometimes you'll see companies that I've worked somewhere where this was the case where they had the nav bar built in React and in a different technology I'm not going to name because no one will know what it is. And so then we've got like a duplicate code situation. So anytime something changes in one, you have to change it in both, and that's, you're never going to remember to do that. Ouch. So that's, I bet that's what is happening with Google products, where it's just like copy paste code and different technologies showing slightly, like rendering slightly differently. But I don't know, with these giant sites, like I think from the systems perspective, the like ideal scenario would be to have full control over that entire layout from the top down, so you always know what to expect. Like if you're going to have side sheets popping in and out, that should be controlled from the top level in some way. Otherwise, if teams will just keep adding their own side sheets in, and then they're going to like overlap each other. Like, how do they interact with each other? Are they going to be the same size? So having a layout component that can handle everything, but then it's like, well, how do you anticipate every single possible scenario of like what kind of layout stuff is going to need to happen? That's kind of impossible, but if you can, it's great.
Yeah. You're making me think of when you go to a website and they've got both a chat widget for like customer support plus a cookie acceptance overlay.
Yes.
And they both interfere with each other, and so you've got to close more than one thing. Clearly they cut, because those are usually third-party tools or libraries, whatever they've brought in to do that job, but clearly they haven't got full control over how those things are laid out because they're just stacking on top of each other, and it's really annoying. On the topic I was talking about earlier with like paid or macro and micro, I often think about layout in terms of fractalness, which again I think is not a word. But I think of layout as being this sort of fractal system where you have this sort of ultimate high level layout, and it's usually page level, or it could be, you know, whole website level. Maybe you're saying like on every website, the top bar goes here, and here's where you could put the sidebar. And I'm assuming that's like the component you're describing, where you're saying these are the slots you can fill.
Yeah.
And then you get one level lower and it's like the page level, and that's its own thing, because on each page you're trying to tell a specific story almost with the layout. You're sort of guiding the eye. And then you get to a lower level, which is like the containers on the page or the sections, and each section will have its own layout again, because it's much more focused than the page itself in terms of this container is trying to tell you this about this specific benefit of the product, for example. But then you can get even lower and it's separate again, like each button in the container or the little title, subtitle, body text, each of those little modules, whatever they're called in Atomic Design, is has got its own layout again. And those could be like determined by the design system, but they are sort of self-contained in terms of a button has the left and right padding and the top and bottom padding set. And that's probably only slightly related to other layouts in terms of the mathematical underpinnings. You know, everything's a multiple of 8 or whatever. But I quite like thinking about layout in terms of that fractal nature, where you've got like the highest level and the lowest level, and they're all kind of independent, but they all fit into each other. And sometimes I wonder, when you say layout, do people only think of some of those levels and sort of forget about the other ones in terms of, oh, this is layout too, and you should care about it because it all sort of, the sum is not more than its parts if you don't think about these things.
Yeah. I think when I think about layout, like just in terms of my own projects and not at work, I picture like a blank canvas. I think we used the word canvas earlier. And I guess it's easier to think about layout from starting from scratch, especially if you're building like a blog, versus when you think about the product that you're probably working on 40 hours a week and you think about layout, it is like very nested and there are many different levels to it, and it's stressful. It's easy to get kind of lost in it, because it's, especially if it's a product that was built over many, many years and didn't really have any consistency in how layout exists from page to page, or like product within the product, then how do you like gather that all and to create something consistent in, you know, pre-existing pattern like that? That's what stresses me out. I guess that's probably why my brain immediately goes to a blank canvas when I think about layout. Cause I'm like, oh, like what's the simplest thing I can do with this just for a personal site or like a blog? But thinking about a product that is like a year long project, probably, to actually bring everything into alignment, unless you started that way, which I think is rare.
Yeah, it's one of those rare cases where, or maybe it's not a rare case, but it's where you starting from scratch is easier to think about than adding on to something that exists. And I think that's, this maybe gets slightly off topic, but I feel like that's design systems in a different sense, because you talk about design systems, usually it's about people creating the design system. They are in charge of how that, like you're saying, they're doing it from scratch and they're in charge of how it all fits together. But there's also a lot of, in interface design, a lot of thinking in terms of systems, as in I'm adding something to this existing system and it's not always going to be something that the design system, in quotes, can provide me. I need to think about how this should fit in with everything that comes before it. And I think layout is a big one there, in terms of, okay, maybe the design system, in quotes, doesn't give me the layout rules. And so I have to understand, just by looking at it, how this product or this website or this complex app or whatever is laid out, just so I can say, oh, I think this would fit in well if I did it this way. You've got to sort of pick up the sort of implicit constraints, which is I guess coming at the design system from the other end. It's not creating it, it's understanding it.
Well, we have to do that to be able to do anything in the design system. The first step is understanding what already exists, if it's working on an existing design system for an existing website, or creating a design system out of an existing website. That's where I think you get, like, you just cannot, you will go down the rabbit hole anytime you want to add or clean up something or add a new layout to an existing product that probably doesn't have a lot of consistency. You'll immediately just be met with like, well, we have to fix everything, because there actually is no system here, and I can't add anything if I don't know what the patterns are, because there aren't any. Or you identify that there are no patterns and you say, all right, time to add another one that doesn't match any of this stuff, which I think is what commonly happens. So yeah, it's one of those things that I wish I could spend like all the time in the world, like fixing and cleaning up and making it perfect for a site. But I don't even know how, if it's maintainable. Like, how do you really systematize something like as massive as all the layout options and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. And it certainly feels satisfying when you get it into a state of sort of coherence, but then probably it immediately starts to uncurl.
Fracture.
Again. I don't know what the right word is. Yeah. it starts to, entropy starts to kick in.
Yeah.
Which I guess is why there's design system jobs
in
the first place. It's an endless task.
It is.
But we're eternally grateful. I'm putting you on the spot a bit here, and it's a bit of a change in topic, but I'm curious if you have any favorite layout patterns. Does anything spring to mind?
Well, I have to say I do like the sidebar, top bar thing that we're seeing like every single website do, especially if it's for like a dashboard or like a web app kind of feel. Mm. There's something nice about having access to everything that you need on the sidebar and the left in some way, either if it's like expanded or you could collapse it or you could hide it completely. Like there's different methods of showing that kind of content. But I do kind of like that pattern. And this is related to like, should I get into my spicy question about aligning with the sidebar? Because it's bugging
me.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Trying to describe this, but we're going to need a visual for this. As I said, maybe you'll want to tweet out visuals so we can like determine who is correct in this. But a designer I used to work with, it like showed this to me and now I can't unsee it. But in a traditional, as if it's like been around for that long, but sidebar layout where you've got like probably a top bar, you've got a left-hand sidebar, and maybe that sidebar is expanded, whatever, it doesn't really matter what the size, the width of it is. The content is then inside of kind of like a container to the right of the sidebar on the left,
yeah,
within the window. And if you've got a really, it's also, we could talk about like, do you let your layout expand the full window or do you break it at some point so that if you're on an ultra wide, everything is like in the center? We can talk about that. Regardless of that, that content, a lot of what I see is people will center it within the bounds of the sidebar and the right-hand side of the window. So you might have like a little container because you have obviously a max width on that container because you want your text to look nice. If it's like even like a blog style, whatever, however max character width you want in there.
Yeah.
It will be centered within the right-hand sidebar of the viewport and the left-hand sidebar. So it's, to me, it doesn't look optically centered unless it's centered with the viewport, excluding right. the sidebar. Or if it's a really large window, you would center it like taking the sidebar into account, basically. So yeah, it would be centered within the viewport. So basically you're centering it and like pretending that the width of the sidebar is attached to it to create this like visual balance. I rarely see that. I always see it centered within that little box and it always looks so imbalanced to me, but mostly because it was pointed out to me that it looks better if it's centered on the whole page. Yeah. Because anytime I ever express this to other people, they're like, I don't see it. I don't, that sounds too hard. I'm not sure how to do that. It's like not worth it. So I need to know if this is like, which is the better way, which way it looks better.
I will tweet about it.
Okay.
I'll put in a poll. I have a prediction. I don't know if I should share my prediction here because maybe that will influence the poll results.
That's true.
But maybe I could tweet the poll before this gets published.
Okay. Yeah.
My prediction will actually come after the poll results. But yeah, well, my first thought of that is that I think it actually depends, and this is where visual style sort of comes in. It depends on the visual weight of the sort of, let's call them meta components on the page. So if you've got the content container, even if that container is invisible and it's actually just an implicit container, But then you've got the sidebar. I think if the sidebar is visually heavy, it changes that how we perceive the content in its implicit container. Whereas if the sidebar is not visually heavy, I think we maybe expect it to be more centered in the viewport.
Because
we're not seeing like a hard edge. So even in your illustration, if you provide me one, you're going to have to be careful, because I think if you make the sidebar visually heavy versus not visually heavy, you'll get different results. And I wonder if the examples you've looked at where you've thought, oh, that doesn't look right, maybe that's been because of a certain visual style.
Now I'm wondering. Yeah, because I it's something I almost always notice, but I do feel like it's different scenarios where, like, sometimes the sidebar has a different background color or it has a border on the right. Sometimes, I mean, always the content of the sidebar is a list of links with icons. That's all we're putting over there typically. But the content of the page could just be text, or it could be more boxes and like little containers of content, like center aligned, or two columns potentially. And maybe there's even another sidebar on the right hand side, which is like within
double
that
sidebar
container. So
I thought you were going to talk about something else, which is similar, but is less, maybe less important, but also noticeable to me and probably to you. So same setup, you have a sidebar, and the sidebar is in a visible container. So it's an explicit container for the sidebar. And then you have some content that's not in an explicit container in the main content area on the right. And I thought you were going to say, should the text in the main content area be aligned with the text in the sidebar container or the top of the sidebar container? And this came up with me because Wikipedia did a redesign, and they now put the table of contents for a Wikipedia page on the left in a container. And when they first released released the redesign, I think they aligned the text with the top of the box, or maybe with the text in the sidebar. I can't remember which, but it felt wrong to me. And so I tweeted about it, I think. And as far as I know, they've changed it since. I think I've looked at it again. I don't think that happened with Wikipedia. I'm pretty sure that's happened with another company where I tweeted about something that didn't look right to me, and they tweeted back later. It's like, check it now. And they changed it.
Wow.
And I said, I wanted to check because it was like a career first for me. And so I said, did this change because of my tweet? And they just did like a eyes emoji, you know, looking to the side. So that, or
amazing.
Something like that. So they weren't telling me, but I suspected I had something to do with it. Maybe I was just giving them fire for an internal debate that was already raging. So I don't want to claim too much influence.
Yeah, I will say tweets do make it sometimes into company Slack channels. If you're complaining about a UI thing, it's like, see, this person agrees with me. Now can we fix it?
Yeah.
I guess so.
I think this is... there's lots of these when you look out for them, and layout, usually, I mean, a lot of the standard layout stuff is quite easy to learn. It's quite easy to learn the rules that sort of underpin it. And to make good orderly layout, which is an important word, orderly, it's generally relatively easy to learn overnight sort of thing. But you get down to the little details, the sort of micro layout decisions, and they start to become really hard because there's no right answers, which I suspect is what you're talking about. And it's probably what I'm talking about as well. But another example I noticed recently was, if you have a container, if you have some text in a container and the container's got padding in it naturally, because we're not animals, well, we are animals, but we're not savages. If you have a title or some other text outside that container, do you align it with the edge of the container sort of horizontally, or do you align it with the text inside the container horizontally? This is also the case with text fields, where you have placeholder in the text field, and then you have a label for the text field. If you've got rounded corners on that text field, the larger the rounded corner, the worse it starts to look with the label aligned far left, because you create this sort of awkward gap in the left-hand sort of implicit line of the website. I don't know if any of these descriptions are making sense to you or to our listeners, but there's loads of that sort of thing where it's these micro layout decisions that are quite difficult. And actually the best solution is usually to get yourself out of the situation that created
that
decision in the first place, like unround the corners a bit or whatever, or don't put titles outside containers so that you don't have to worry about what to align them with. You know? But I noticed this because I noticed on an Apple website, they had to align titles with text inside containers. So the title was outside the container, the text was inside the container. They had to line them up, and it looked a bit awkward on the left-hand edge. And then I looked through their other websites, and I realized that Apple had basically never put themselves in this situation before this website. So they were doing a landing page for something, and they'd used this title outside of container pattern and got themselves into a bit of a sticky situation. And so I was looking through all their other landing pages, and I was like, they've never done this before, so why are they suddenly doing it now? And I thought, maybe they've just, as a rule, avoided this situation because it's hard to solve for.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. It'd be cool to deep dive into that one. I want to see why they would have changed it. But yeah, I have like instincts for all of these scenarios, but I think one thing with layout and with everything, all topics we ever talk about, is like you just have to spend some time looking at it and doing optical adjustments, like based on what you're feeling when you see it. And because like when you, the example of having a table of contents on the right or left or whatever, if it's in a visible bounded box, I would assume you would align to the bounds of that box and not the text inside of it. But I don't, like, if I see, I might do that, see it and think, oh, that looks wrong. And then I would need to adjust it. But
yeah.
So it's good to have these, like, you know, gut instinct ideas to try first, but then you might have to make minor adjustments. But also, like, what you're saying with, sometimes you can zoom in too far, you know, like talking about a text input field and the placeholder text and how it aligns with the label kind of like boggles my mind a little bit, because I think you're almost zoomed in too much. Like, maybe pull yourself out a little bit and look at how it actually interacts in the whole page, because it's easy to get lost in those really tiny details and think something looks weird that actually doesn't, like it's actually a normal pattern. So
I don't know. there's lots of those where it does look weird if you let yourself notice it, but actually most people, most designers even, won't notice it until they stop and focus. And I think those situations are generally okay. You know, there's lots of cases where if you actually stop and look at it, you think, oh, that's really weird. Why have they done that? But you didn't notice it for the last 5 years before you stopped and looked. Like something in macOS probably looks really weird if you actually stop. Especially things like alignment. You know, if you focus on some optically well-aligned sort of elements, you start to realize, oh, this is really far out in terms of, you know, mathematical alignment or literal alignment, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's lots of those. And the point you made about the bounding box, I think, is really important, because if you do try to learn these sort of standard rules and live by them, you run into problems, because as soon as you change the visual style of something, it changes the visual weight of the various elements. And so it's almost as if, I don't know if this is true for other things, but layout is basically always context dependent. In terms of if you're working with a different visual style, you're going to run into different layout rules, because if you've got a solid color as the background for this container, that's completely different than if you have a really faint gray line around the container. They've both got explicit boundaries, but one explicit boundary feels like it should be the sort of focal point of the layout, and another one doesn't feel like it should be. You're much more focused on the text inside the container. And so I find that strange. You do have to squint at a lot of stuff. Even if you've been doing it for 10, 15 years, you've still got to squint at a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Which maybe is not true for typography. You know, maybe you can learn more reliable rules that will set you up for life in something like typography.
Yeah. Well, as you said, typography plays a huge role in layout too. So they kind of come to their little package deal there. But I want to know your stance on full width, like taking up the entire width of a page, even on really wide screens, versus locking it off at some point and forcing it to be centered, even if your layout is not centered, but just saying like at this maximum breakpoint, keep everything in the middle of the page so that there's a bunch of extra space. Or do you lock it off on one side and let everything be left aligned and so that nothing, it doesn't stretch too far out on the right, but it still like maintains some kind of maximum width, I guess. Do you have opinions?
One thing I've noticed about myself is that because I've got a relatively large monitor, it's 27 inches, and I will put browser windows side by side. So they're both quite tall and narrow, and they're sitting side by side. And my default position for one of those is on the left-hand side. But I've noticed that because my monitor is a bit larger, I'll have this website, whatever it is, on the left-hand side of my monitor. I feel myself leaning in that direction so I can read it more comfortably. And it starts to cause sort of like back issues and sort of posture issues just because I'm leaning to one side, not even slouching forward, just leaning. And so I started more and more to full screen the browser so that the content sits in the middle and I'm sitting in a more natural position. Because even if you're only leaning slightly, it still builds up over time. And so I think things should be comfortable to read, and actually layout plays an important part in that in terms of text. And it really feels like text columns are sort of the defining element of website design, because so much is put into columns that we're supposed to read from top to bottom. Even if it's broken up by images, put into containers, we're still going through it like one of those old-fashioned printouts where it was like endless reel of paper and it was like a dot matrix printer, you know. Hole punches down the side and everything that you tore off.
Fond memories.
Yeah, when we were both not alive of those.
I experienced those. I don't know about... I worked with those like when in my teens, in my first job. I worked in a independent bookstore when I was like 15. And I think I don't know what we were printing, like invoices on those things.
Mm.
It was intense.
Okay, I mean, I guess the modern equivalent is like a receipt printer. Like receipt printers are still... Yeah. An infinite quotes true. Roll of paper. And so I tend to put it in the center of the screen for that reason, and I think because of that sort of defining element of layout, that sort of constraint that we start ourselves with, it means that if you want to use the full width of a large screen, you have to have extra content, basically like meta content, sidebars, like you're saying, maybe little call outs and things. You could put the pull quotes off to the side, all that stuff. And so you could do it, but you're going to run out of content at some point that can go horizontally if the layout,
the overall,
yeah. So that's for websites. If you're doing it with, Figma is a good example of. Of course, we're going to use the full,
because it's a tool.
Height and width.
Yeah,
because we've got this canvas. We want to see as much of it as we can.
Yeah, like an operating system, obviously, is taking up the full. That's interesting. Yeah, I was just thinking about, I have an ultra wide monitor. So does my partner, and he's using TweetDeck a lot, which I know is like dead. I don't know. He's using some resurrected version of it from open source right now. But he'll have it full screen on an ultra wide monitor with like 20 columns of tweet stuff. I don't know what's going on in there. But if I asked him, he would be like, no, I want to use the entire window. Don't like limit me in the width of the content. I think he would prefer everything to be super stretched so that you have more control over, I guess, how much you're seeing. Because you can always, if you do use the full window and you just let it go on forever, then you are in full control and you can adjust the size of your window to show how much or how little you want. But I think it looks better if you break it at some point and say, this is the limit of how this website should be rendering, and it's going to be centered within the viewport. I just think that is more pleasant. Like, I think it's kind of a selfish thing. Selfishly, I just want it to like never go beyond those bounds, because I think the design will look really bad if it's stretched for an ultra wide monitor on like a basic website.
I don't think you're necessarily being selfish, because I think of it in terms of like shifting bottlenecks, because if you build computers, for example, you talk about this component is no longer the bottleneck. And so it's something else now that's limiting how much processing power we can get, whatever it happens to be. And so I think the same is true for things like layout in terms of, okay, so the bottleneck was comfortable reading, right? And so we want to limit the main column to 70 characters, whatever the equivalent in pixels or rems happens to be. And so that's a bottleneck. But then if we have other content, then suddenly that bottleneck is removed. But I think there's other bottlenecks that come in. Like I'm saying, if you've got an ultra-wide monitor and you're having to look over to the left-hand side, but actually your eyesight's not so good, and so it starts to be blurry because it's actually a little bit further away than you're used to, then suddenly that's a new bottleneck in terms of, oh, I can't really see that comfortably. And I know that ultra-wide monitors curve, I assume, for that reason. But I think there'll always be, no matter how wide you try to go, the bottleneck will always be introduced. Even at its extreme, it's like, can I wheel my way over there in my chair comfortably to be able to see the left-hand edge of my screen versus the right-hand edge of my screen? Because there's a reason we're not going to like 60-inch wide ultra-wide monitors that are still, you know, 14 inches tall or something. It's just not practical. That's for two people, right? It's not for one person. So I think there'll always be a bottleneck. And I think it is nice to think, oh, just put it full width and I can decide with the window. But there's always going to be a reason to keep it narrower than some extreme.
Yeah. I like that. Keep like introducing some constraints at the page level.
Well, if you don't, basically the user's context will introduce some constraints. And so maybe you should be in control of the constraints as a designer before their constraints get introduced, because you don't have control over those. And I think good design is generally about more control.
Yeah. And then you avoid getting the like support tickets from people doing weird stuff with your website that makes it look super broken. I don't know.
I opened this Word document on my ultra wide monitor and the text is too wide.
I can't read.
Please shrink it. Yeah. Support ticket after support ticket. It's like, well, shrink the window.
I do think it is 100% the designer's job to make sure the line length is appropriate and scales up or down, I guess, depending on the font size. So, and that, like we said, it goes hand in hand. Typography and layout go hand in hand. The line length probably does dictate a lot of the end layout decisions that you're going to make. And you would never have a line of text infinitely going the width of your ultra wide monitor. So, or you're going to keep it that same width, but then let the rest of the page around it just expand just oddly. Like it would be strange. So I prefer the constraint type.
Yeah, this is why Wikipedia redesigned, because they used to have full width text.
Right.
And they redesigned it. So they put in a artificial limit. There's a programmer called Dan Liu who has a blog and it's really good. He doesn't just write about programming. He writes about all sorts of topics, but he approaches it in a very sort of systematic way. But he coded his own blog and the text is full width and it doesn't have a line length limit. And so I suspect he gets lots of complaints about it, whatever, but you can just shrink the browser window. But if you don't shrink the browser window, because I don't always, it makes it quite annoying to read.
Yeah.
What is otherwise a great blog. And so that's the sort of, that and the old Wikipedia are sort of the examples of people who don't bother. And clearly Wikipedia realized that they should change something, but Dan Liu is sort of independent enough that he doesn't have to ever bow to people's will.
That's really interesting. Cool. Well, we're at time here. I think we should wrap this one up. Anything else you want to add?
I don't know if I should be sharing behind the scenes information like this, but before, I think we had not recorded yet, so I don't think you can include this even if you want to. But before this, I asked you to record the podcast without notes. Because usually you have notes to help you structure the sort of the conversation, and I do rely on you to sort of lead the podcast. And so I realized I was asking a lot there. I don't know how you felt about it.
I definitely felt pretty good.
Yeah, it feels like this episode was more sort of meandering than some of ours.
Yeah,
and we probably didn't cover some very important topics like what should you learn about, layout if you're starting out, that sort of thing. But I'm mainly bringing it up so that if you are listening to this and you want to let us know if you notice a difference, then please do, because I don't want to keep asking you to not use your notes if if it's actually hurting the podcast.
I would like to know. Yeah. I mean, I think the act of writing notes is all you really need to do to kind of gather your thoughts around a topic. You don't necessarily need to reference them. But I am a notes lady. I like notes in like everything. I'm always taking notes. Things, but it was a little bit more relaxed kind of conversation, so it'll be kind of scary to go look at my notes and see what I forgot to mention that I wanted to mention, but that's fine. That's why we have a podcast. We can talk about whatever we want in the future, so
we can have a every 10 episodes we can have a mixed bag episode where we bring up this is something we should have mentioned on that episode, and it's just like one point per episode that we missed.
That would be cool. Here's the thing about that. Because I listen to a lot of podcasts and they often do like they will reference something from previous episodes. I personally feel like I have very little memory of the things that we have said on the previous episodes. I don't understand how people remember these things. Maybe I just have a bad memory, but
I don't know. I have a bad memory too. I don't know if that makes us complimentary or not complimentary, but
is that why you have to write everything down on your website?
Everything gets written down because I don't know what I know unless I go and read.
That's how I feel. This might not be a good combination if we're just constantly forgetting everything.
someone recently quoted something I'd written back to me, and I didn't realize that they were quoting me. And obviously, I agreed with what the person was quoting. I thought, and I said to the person, "This sounds great." And they told me that I'd written it, and I think that's embarrassing, but I think it's also quite affirmative in terms of affirmative. Is that the right word? It affirms. It makes me feel better about myself because it's like, you know,
that sounds good.
Yeah, I respect the the opinions that past Anthony has.
Uh huh. Was this on the podcast that you did with Rid? Because I remember this part.
Yes. So he was quoting things that I'd written down in my little mini book about improving your visual design skills. And I probably wrote that in a bit of a haze, and it was many years ago at this point. But some of it I sounded quite professional, and I thought, wow, this is not me. But I'm glad that someone snuck into my room at night and wrote a book in my name, and then hit publish because I'm benefiting.
Yeah, I do think we should plug that. I'm going to plug it for you because I thought it was a great interview I think it's called Deep Dive is the podcast name. Deep Dives. So Anthony was featured on a recent episode of that. So definitely check it out if you want to hear more Anthony on a podcast in podcast form.
Yeah, I mean, it was good, but there was no Katie there. I feel like it's not quite the same.
Oh.
I mean, Rid's great, but you and I are complementary. So obviously we're better as a team.
Well, I definitely enjoyed listening to it. It was kind of funny listening to your voice that I did not personally edit myself. So
you disagree with all the editors' choices?
No, I thought it was good.
I would not have edited Anthony that way.
Okay. Anyways, let's wrap this one up. Good talk about layout. Enjoyed it, and thanks everybody for listening this week. We'll catch you in the next one.
Yeah, thank you.